And just a little bit worn out, but glad to be back. It's all about the blood, isn't it? You've been to Jesus for the cleansing power. He washed in the blood of the Lamb. Don't forget the old hymns, the doctrine of the old hymns, all true today. It's always very, very true today. We're, as a church, as a body of people, we're under attack at this time. The government has decided to redefine marriage. And the Church of England, the Anglican Church, has decided to open up the selection process for the Archbishop of Canterbury. They've put it onto Twitter and to Facebook, and they want to bring everyone in, including the atheist Richard Dawkins, humanists, and all the other faiths, down the road of universalism and liberalism. We're living very much in the days of the apostate church. My own people, the Jews, you know, there is much in need of salvation, the people of my country, as the people of this country are. They're outside of the will of God. God is dealing with the Arab Spring, with Ishmael's people. He will deal with secular Europe, and he's coming quietly to dealing with the Jewish problem. We need to pray for those born again. You need to pray that they will have strength to stand in the last days. We are very much in the last days. And you need to very much be aware and to watch the windows of Jerusalem and see what takes place there. It doesn't matter what happens in the rest of the world, but God's chosen instrument for bringing about the end of time isn't there. I haven't got a Timex, but it's not the Timex or the Rolex. It's the Jewish nation. Father, I pray now as we look to your word, to your truth, that you'll anoint your word. Lord, we so need to hear you speaking in the days wherein we live. We need to hear, thus saith the Lord. We need an anointing on our preaching. We need to hear a rustling in the tops of the mulberry trees. We need to know you are working with us. Father, we bless you and praise you and thank you for such amazing grace and such amazing love that this King should die for us. We're no longer sinners, but saints by the blood of the Lamb, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Our garments are made white in that. We are fitted for heaven in that. So help me now, I pray, to hide behind Jesus, to show Jesus only. Have mercy upon me, Lord, your unworthy servant, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The incarnation, the truth of the incarnation, Jehovah Jesus, deity joined with humanity to bring salvation to you and to this world. God was in Christ. And this is the gift presented to mankind by Isaiah. Some 700 years before, quoted by Matthew, who, peering back through the corridors of time into the mists of ages past, the ancient seer and the modern dreamer, the Old Covenant and the New Testament, by apostle and angel, by God and man, in prophecy and vision, a twofold witness to the child and to the sons. So would you stand and read from Matthew 28, chapters, verses 1 to 8, just some verses of scripture. Amen. Praise the Lord. The account of the life of Jesus Christ is the only biography known to man that does not end with death and burial. The writing of a life ends where life ends. It's logic. It's sad logic, but it's necessity, isn't it? It holds true in every land among all people. With the passing of the man, no further chapter is possible. In chapter 27, as Sue read of Matthew's biography of Jesus, Jesus is taken down from the cross, having given up his spirit. He was dead. He was dead. And human biography ends there. Or does it? Or does it? Amazingly, we find another chapter, 28. And it's there because for the first time in human history, it became necessary to take up the pen again. The evangelist took up the pen to add an authentic chapter of biography. Another chapter. Not an editorial comment, not a eulogy, but a continuation of the biography of the man who had died in the previous chapter. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is alive again. The evangelist is adding the chapter that has no end. It's a chapter that has no end. It's an amazing chapter. Listen again to the word of God from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 to 8. For I am now ready, says Paul, to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, he says. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And then he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to and to all of them also that love his appearing. I'm waiting for his appearing. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm getting older. I'm over the 60 mark now. But I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the uppertaker, not the undertaker. When the Apostle Paul wrote this last letter to young Timothy, he said this: the day of my departure has come. I am ready to be offered. He knew that death was near. He said, I have fought a good fight. That's past perfect tense. I have finished my course. That's past perfect tense. My testimony has been given. All has been done for Jesus. I will take off my uniform. I've completed God's plan for me on this earth. And logically, his next words should have been the end. For within days of this last letter, he knelt on the flagstones of his Roman prison, and his head was severed from his body by a Roman sword. He had written his last testimony, but he didn't say, this is the end of Paul. Instead, he purposely added one of those little words, my wife, an ex-school teacher, tells me it's a conjunctive, but won't debate that, that speaks of yesterday and connects it with tomorrow. After saying, I've finished my course, he uses this little word called henceforth. Henceforth. The fact that death was near had not caused him to despair. He took up the pen again. Henceforth, he writes. From here on in, he says, what right did he to use such words? He was a man with no tomorrow. His earthly course was finished. Paul was confident that he was going on to another and a better chapter. He was going on to an eternal chapter where he would receive a crown of righteousness, an abundant entrance, this old Bible tells me, into heaven. He was sure of two things. He would be with God. God is eternal. Therefore, he always will be with us. And we who believe will always be with him. The Bible teaches the resurrection to eternal life is for those who believe. Who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Now, we tend to turn him to a schizophrenic today, don't we? We'll take him as Savior, but not Lord. Savior and Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23. Paul again. Every man in his own order. Christ, he says, the first fruits. Afterwards, they that are Christ's at his coming. Paul's battle was over. He was going home. But ours is not. We live and we fight on. Our battles are churches with Satan and his minions. And our leader, yours and mine, is God's Holy Spirit, Satan's great enemy. God's authority, God's vicar on earth is his Holy Spirit. He with the church is involved in a great spiritual battle. And we need, Lord, teach us to pray. We need to pray as the Spirit leads. You know, we preach from these pulpits as dying men to dying men. And we need a Holy Ghost anointing. And you can provide that with your prayers. Pray for a Holy Ghost anointing. Pray for the minister. People say to me, oh, we need a better pastor. Well, pray for the one you've got. Pray hard for the one you've got. You'll get a better pastor. I travel greatly. I've been out of ministry in a sense. We're into itinerant ministry. Now we're down in a church called near Tintern, a little Assemblies of God church. Pray, pray and pray. Pray without ceasing. We need to weep more for souls. We need to value souls as God does. Eternity hangs on the nails of the cross. To preach Christ and him crucified. This Jesus would be offerer and offering, without sin, yet made sin. He would demand justice, and yet he would lose liberty. Establish the heights of eternal righteousness. Move the depths of everlasting mercy. Beyond my thoughts. The mysterious union, being at the moment of conception. Creation by the Spirit of his humanity and his body. the seed of David and the virgin's human nature. The fulfillment of the dream of Joseph. Emmanuel, God with us. We have a God, and you need to grasp it. You and I have a God that knows the way out of the grave. He knows the way out of the grave. God took the thorns of Genesis chapter 3, the curse, and placed them on the head of Christ, a crown of glory, and lifted them up onto the old rugged cross. The curse has been lifted. That's the blessed hope of the Christians. Through the ages, we've received forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Peter puts it like this, so an entrance, it's amazing, isn't it? So an entrance shall be abundantly given, ministered unto you, abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. If heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents, how much more when a saint comes home? We're no longer sinners, you and I. We are saints by the blood of Christ. And one by one, we slip away. We break ranks. But it's not the end. It's not the end. It's not all there is. All that I have and all that I have are cast onto the promises of God. Don't sit on the premises. Stand on the promises. Standing on the promises of Christ my King. An everlasting King. An eternal King. We just celebrated 60 years. 60 years of a Queen's reign on a throne in England. My God reigns. My God has always reigns. And he always will reign. He always will reign. He always will reign. Not sitting on the premises, standing on the promises of Christ my King. For the believer, another chapter is written. The chapter of God's glorious tomorrows. The chapter of henceforth, known only to his children. And that chapter is called immortality. Immortality. At the close of every obituary of his believing children, God adds the word, henceforth. Our God is the God of miracles. We are living in the day of miracles. Our God is a supernatural God. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. The dead raised up. It's a startling and an amazing miracle, isn't it? Giving clarity to the lunatic at the garden air, giving him his mind back. Jairus' daughter just died in the home, raised from a bed. She ate. A boy, a widow's boy, dead a day at the funeral, raised up and he talked. Lazarus, a brother, dead 4 days at the cemetery, raised from the tomb, blind, deaf, dumb, paralyzed, numb, unclean and without a thought in his head. He walked and he talked. Jesus Christ caused them to live. Now I think of Ezekiel back in the Old Testament, leaning and looking over that giant graveyard and asking the question, can these bones yet live? And the answer without a doubt is yes. Israel will be restored. The sinner is being restored. The kingdom is being built. I am the way, the truth, and the life, said Jesus. No man or woman comes to the Father but by me. While men are alive, God loves them. And that's the reality of John 3:16. He loves enough to forgive. He loves enough to forgive those that believe in the Son. The forgiveness he offers in the gospel is eternal life. That's his promise. That's his promise. And you and I, and those who believe, we await the sound of the trumpet and the glorious appearing of our great God and his Son, Jesus Christ. You sang it there, he chose the cross. Christ chose the cross for you and for me. And all that came upon him. The shadow of the cross fell upon the cradle. Can I ask you respectfully this morning, is there a henceforth written up for you? Have you made the choice that God commands you to make? I thank God for a faith that begins with a recognition of our sins and ends with our glorification in the ages to come. Jesus' words to Nicodemus. I've nearly come to an end. Wake up now. Now's the time to wake up. Jesus' words to Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Begotten from above. Begotten from above. Faith in the heart gives hope in the head for the future. A sinner back from the dead. That's me. Raised to immortality. The chapter of the henceforth is being written. And from the throne of God, the Christ of God sent his Holy Spirit to equip and to guide the church. And commissioned apostles of the Messiah went everywhere preaching his gospel. And that gospel is this. It's not the gospel, the sentimentality of the gospel that you hear being preached today. You know, preachers like myself, ministers like myself, step out of the way to not to offend, because we want to be asked back. But I don't particularly want to be asked back, so I'm going to step out of the way and offend. This is the gospel that has to be preached. When this gospel is preached in all the world, then you can look for its appearing. And the gospel is this. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, healer, baptizer, and coming King. That's the gospel that has to be preached. That's the old-fashioned four-square gospel that I was taught. That's the old-fashioned four-square gospel that I stand on. Crucified, exalted, and resurrected. An amazing gospel. An amazing gospel. An amazing God. A God of the supernatural. A God that loves you, and a God that loves me. A God that loves the people outside enough to have sent his Son into this world to be condemned, to die the shameful, wicked death of the cross. It is amazing grace and it is amazing love that this King should die for us. Don't be afraid of it. Stand up for it. Proclaim it. You are his ambassadors. You are those disciples that he talks about. Go into all the world and preach this gospel. Your world is there. Around you there. Our world is wider in itinerant ministry, but your world is there. Your world is there. It is such amazing love, isn't it? It is such amazing grace. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. That hasn't changed. That never will change. Never, ever will change. I'm looking for a glorious return. Time is drawing on. We're living in the days of the apostate church. The door is beginning to close. Beginning to close. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. And if you stand up, you will never, ever suffer loss. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.